The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Raiders, episode 617 of The Show. The show where we talk about all things Xbox, Bethesda Showcase, and also PC Gaming Show, or PC Gamer Show, whichever you prefer. But 617, we talked about a lot of things. I talked about some of the things that caught my attention. I know Starfield was one of the major games that we talked about during this episode. We also talked about Wolong. Cocoon was definitely a sleeper hit to me. I didn't hear a lot of people mentioning it on the social audio apps out there. So Cocoon is definitely one that you should pay attention to. Hollow Knight is definitely one that caught my attention. Hollow Knight reminds me of Dust and Elysian Tale. Of course, you have Redfall, which was at the top of the show. We can't forget Flintlock. That is a dope one for diversity and representation. So definitely keep an eye out on that for sure. Overwatch 2, that's going to be October of 2022. So looking forward to all things Overwatch. And I know that Modern Warfare wasn't part of the show, but I'm excited for Modern Warfare 2 as well. So 617, we covered a lot. I definitely wanted to share, just as I mentioned in the last episode, I want to touch base with you at the top of the show before we head in to the actual episode. So definitely make sure you follow me, Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A, and definitely make sure you follow Miss DJM at Miss DJM. That's Daniela's Twitter. Definitely check us out there and enjoy episode 617. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 617 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Pretty excited today. We get to talk about Xbox Bethesda Showcase. We also are going to speak about the PC Gaming Show. So this is the month. This is the weeks that we spend all our time catching up on all the gaming news, especially with all these showcases and these live streams. Daniela, how are you? How are you enjoying these showcases?
I'm loving it. There's a lot of good things that was shown that I'm pretty excited for. And, you know, one that kind of finally piqued my interest that I'm pretty stoked about what they showed. So I know we're going to be talking about it. I know it's on your list, even though we don't have
a It's on my list. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. Okay, so let's get right into it. So Xbox Bethesda is the first one that we want to cover. Lots of things that I saw there that piqued my interest. But Daniela, the floor is yours. What caught your attention?
So like everything else, I've been pretty much going in there with an open mind, not high expectations. But where do we want to start with? I want to start with the like super exciting stuff. Well, overall, I like the showcase. I was really pleasantly surprised. It really had a good vibe. The Xbox One showed a lot of games, which over the last couple of years, they've definitely improved on. It's like it's less like a lot of like verbal diarrhea that goes on and let us see the games. Let us see what's happening. I love that everything that they showed is going to be something that's projected. If everything stays on their timeline, that you'll be able to play over the next like 12 months, so within the next year, it's nothing of like, oh, it'll be in your hands in 2024 or 2025. This is in the next 12 months, so that makes it pretty. That's pretty exciting because these 12 months are going to be going by really quickly. It's still going to be on people's minds. You're not going to be like, here's this little teaser that you won't see because it's, you know, still in development in about 2 years, 3 years down the road. So I think that was really huge and I really loved that part of it. The parts I guess were okay. but I don't have any interest in, but I know that people are going to love that. It's going to be there. It's like stuff like Ark. Ark 2, that's pretty much cool, which I completely forgot that Vin Diesel was going to be in or part of in some way, some fashion, until they showed his face. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You're weirdly placed in there, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense. Minecraft Legends looked pretty cool and pretty nice. And I think the nice, surprising one, which I think was shown in bits and pieces and in full entirety, that I thought was really cool, that I liked seeing coming popping up in different showcases, was As Dusk Falls.
That was really good.
It did, and it had a very really cool style to it and presentation. I forget which showcase really kind of dived into how they created it, where they had the actors and, you know, they had the mocap, but it wasn't in like the same sense that you have mocap in other games, because it wasn't just super fluid. It had a watercolor, surreal feel to it that has like these, it's a singular story, but in the perspective of like different characters, that's tied to this like middle of nowhere town that has like, I really loved the voice acting that was going on it, and like the story looked so good and intrigued. So I was really always happy when that was like coming up, and you're getting more of it every time you saw it across like over this last like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. It definitely had this suspense, dramatic thriller feel, you know, and it looks like it may incorporate the decision making tree of that we're familiar with, like Detroit Become Human, which I know you played. Yep. That kind of thing. So if they do incorporate that, I think that's going to be an interesting one to watch a little bit closer, right? That caught my attention, and could even be like a movie based on the way they laid everything out. So I really enjoyed that one too.
Yeah, on top of that, like there is like one part where there's I think it was only an Xbox's showcase that it showed this, and it was just like really brief where it says up to 8 players, and I'm like, what do you mean up to 8 players? This looks like a single player story, you know, decision-based game. Like where does the 8-player thing come into?
Yeah.
And like there's similar games out there that are like that you can play through, and you know, you have a code that's based, and people sign in on their mobile phones, and then majority ruling in these decisions is that's the one that's going to be picked on this story playthrough. So I think that was very cool to see, that I would be very excited to, you know, when I get to play it, to see what that's like. I mean, I'm going to play it by myself, but if like, you know, it turns into those really fun, chill night with friends and family to be like, hey, let's like play through this game together and see like how we make these decisions. That's how I'm thinking, maybe. So they didn't really dive into that part too much, or but yeah, it's definitely like one of my nice surprises that I really enjoyed seeing.
Okay, so now you said you believe one is on my list. Which one were you thinking? I'm curious.
Really?
Which one?
Starfield.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we'll talk about that. You want to talk about it now? We can wait. We can wait. That's definitely on the list, for sure. What else were you what else caught your attention during the show?
Pentiment.
Really?
Pentiment, and yeah, it did. It really did. You know, had that, you know, very look and feel that I'm very interested in. Araban Shadow Legacy, that was another good one. The Wulong Fallen Dynasty.
Absolutely.
I think those are some like really quick hits on there that I really going to be paying attention to and following along. Another nice surprise was Riot Games.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty big and pretty cool to see that they're partnering. And, you know, if you have the Xbox Game Pass, you have like just this huge access to across almost all of their games, pretty much, to have full like content that they have just by being described, which I thought was fantastic and a huge draw. I'm not a, like a big, you know, partaker in any of their games, but to have that access, that was actually a really cool surprise to see that they're going to be offering and they're going to be doing. Now, for people who actually spent the money for all of these things, I don't know what to say about that one.
Right. That's a different situation. So I know in the last maybe 2 years, we were saying, yeah, you know, Xbox Game Pass is the Netflix of, you know, and, you know, fill in the blanks. I think we're at a place now where it's really beginning to feel that way because of the value that we're getting. Right. So yeah. When you look at, you know, Wolong, you look at Persona, you know, 3, 4, and 5 coming into the Xbox family. Then you have Kojima Productions with Xbox Game Studios. That's going to be interesting to watch. And of course, Starfield, which is, you know, the last one that they showed, which is, to me, it captures everything that I would want to enjoy. And really considering the exploration side of things, because I never did No Man's Sky. So having the ability to earn XP and that grind with the loot and the exploration, which will be new to me. And then of course, you know, the FPS aspect of it that's included. I know we'll touch on that a little bit more later. Redfall, surprise to me. That was at the top of the show. Flintlock, of course, right? That looked absolutely amazing. And there's so many good stuff that we saw today. Hollow Knight, which reminded me of Dust and Elysian Tale, which is one of my favorite Metroidvania games, you know, even till today. That game still has one of the most amazing combat systems and story and hand-drawn, you know, fully. So there's that. So Hollow Knight was a real treat to even watch. Overwatch 2, I think they said, what, October 4th, free-to-play access, right? I think that was included
That was right.
Great. So all of this stuff was good. There was something in there for everybody. Okay, Last Case for Benedict, that was good. From every aspect of it, from the art style to the platformer, you know, all of that stuff was actually really, really good. Nakara, I never really played, but it is one of those hack and slasher battle royale type of games. So I'm glad that we saw that. As well. Well, actually, you know, brought back to our minds because I think it's been out for some time. And then Cocoon was a treat. You know, that was there as well. So there's so many things. There's so many things. But the lasting impression for me, which we can dive into a little bit later, has to be Hollow Knight, surprisingly, and then Starfield.
Yeah, I have to agree. So no matter what type of games that you're into, Xbox definitely showcased like a little bit of everything that's going to pique somebody's interest somewhere in that showcase of theirs that you're going to fall in love with and you're going to enjoy. Scorn was another big one on there that was that's a Geiger-esque, which I
right.
You grew up a goth kid in high school, you probably loved Geiger too. But he has such a great, unique, dark mind about these designs and to have this game that's created around it, which they said it's like, yes, there's gun, but it's not a shooter. I thought that was very interesting, but it's incredibly dark and beautiful. And then you have these lighthearted games like Minecraft Legends, and then you have something for the indies, which is the Last Case of Benedict Fox. And you have all of this coming together. And then you have these big titles as well, too, that has such a longstanding game base and fans like, you know, Overwatch 2, which when Overwatch 1 came out, I didn't play it instantly. I got really late into it. I really enjoyed it. I had fun with people. But my skill base level is really, really behind. So I was a very casual player on it. And I only played it if anybody really asked me to. So having Overwatch 2 coming out, they showed a new character. They showed all the, you know, the fan favorites that are coming back. They showed some gameplay footage. They showed all of these things. And I'm like, okay, I'm pumped. I want to play this. I want to like get in early on this, like, you know, Overwatch 2. And then really, really just kind of dive into that. And then obviously, like, it's if you're an anime fan and you're a Persona fan, to have their library and all of their great hits coming over to Xbox, that is pretty big. That's pretty awesome. And then, obviously, you know, you brought it up, Kojima-san partnering with Xbox for this never before seen concept, which you know, if it's coming from Hideo Kojima, you're in for a ride. So that's probably the only one that was a really hard teaser that you're like, oh, you're gonna make me wait for a while to find out what this idea that you're bringing to life, that even he says was going to be a challenge for him. So you know, his last game, Death Stranding, that was definitely a very new and unique and interesting and fun concept that he came out with, that was so different to what was already out there. So for him to say, like, you've never even seen this, it's like it's fun to see this this creator, this genius, if you could say, you know, absolutely, who's been in the industry, who's created all these like series and titles that we've all loved, and having this freedom to really push his own personal boundaries and to create what he wants and not really be tied down. Like he's doing what he wants. I think that's just a beautiful thing to have. And it's like a fun ride to see evolve and develop, and that he's not feeling stuck. And what I mean that by being stuck is that as somebody who is creative, you know, you get those like writer's blocks or just blocks in general where like, I want to create something, but I don't know what it is. But to see this man just continue pushing that and just creating things, it's cool. So I'm glad that he's going to be partnering with Xbox and see what happens from there. I mean, he's not limited to one platform. It's just, it can be on anything. And you know what? If one year he decides I'm going to create my own system, because these two right now has their certain limitations. Don't know what they are, if they have any at this moment for game developers. But if he does that, you know what? It's going to be probably fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see, you know, when he first started or was putting his production studio together, you know, he collaborated and partnered with Sony, and Sony gave him, you know, what he needed by way of resources to come out with Death Stranding. And like it or not, Death Stranding is something that is memorable, even if you didn't take the time to play it yourself, right? I didn't, but I really appreciated that his brilliance allows us to see new games and new experiences, whether it's PlayStation or PC or now even Xbox. And coming in and prepping to take advantage of the cloud technology, which is maturing, that's going to allow us to see, you know, what he can do with, you know, the cloud tech and the future with Xbox Game Studio. So I'm excited, you know, for that. And we can look at his catalog, Kojima's catalog, and we could say that there's nothing that he produced and created that wasn't amazing. Nothing. Whether you like Death Stranding or not, it doesn't matter. There's nothing that he's put out that wasn't amazing. So I can only imagine what the next thing will be for Kojima Productions and Xbox Game Studios. So that's going to be exciting to see. And I'm excited because, you know, the cloud tech, I recently started testing that out for the Xbox app, and that works extremely well. And I was very, very impressed and surprised. So it's there. They're building on it, and it's maturing very, very quickly. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of companies go in this direction. But it's Kojima Productions, and I know he's going to deliver, and we're going to appreciate whatever he creates. So
you want to get to the nitty gritty now, the exciting part?
I mean, there's so many things. So As Dusk Falls, I definitely want to add that because I said there were memorable things that, you know, stuck out. So As Dusk Falls, definitely one of the memorable things for me, Hollow Knight, and then, of course, Starfield. But before we get to Starfield, anything else that really stood out for you that you want to touch on before we get to Starfield? Forza was good too.
I guess it really wouldn't be an Xbox showcase if you didn't show Forza at least like 500 times.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Which they have definitely evolved so much, and every single time that I think, even though I don't play the Forza series, at just seeing when they announce their games, whether it be Motorsports or Horizon, their games visually, what they showcase and put out there, constantly gets better. And it's not just little bits; it's by leaps and bounds. So for like Motorsports, Forza Motorsports, they showcase this single view, like single camera view that they moved around, and you know, within their world, they sped up time. They showed the environments changing. They showed how the real-time ray tracing was affecting the gameplay, the reflections, the environment, even the environment, how it affects, like, depending on the time of the year or day, how it affects the racetrack, how that's going to affect, you know, the grip of your tires. They went down to minor, even the minute details of collisions, about how these little dents and these little visual effects will take place on your car, how the reflections off of the other car goes onto yours, down to the mirrors. It was a very beautiful showcase for Motorsports. And then you have Horizon, where they're introducing the Hot Wheels tracks, which I really do like Hot Wheels. And I thought that was really cool and very beautiful to see and fun. They just have a lot going on there. So, of course, you couldn't be Xbox Showcase without Forza.
Yeah, I loved it. Go ahead.
And probably the only part that I kind of really just tuned out, because it really is not for me, it's probably the flight simulator stuff.
You know, it got my attention when the Halo thing came up. I'm not gonna lie.
I think that's the only time for me too, because I heard they come on and I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool. So you get a ship now.
Yeah, we got the ship. Really. We're in there.
But everything before that, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I personally just tune it out. Like, that was the time for, like, oh, I can go refill my water.
Yeah, there was a lull in there until we started seeing, like, the last case of Benedict Fox. And then, you know, as Dusk Falls, that came in, and Akata, and, you know, Diablo came in, Diablo 4. With the Necromancer class, that was interesting. Somewhere in there, you had Cocoon. Then you had Wolong, which I'm excited about because Team Ninja always delivers, especially if you look at all the Ninja Gaiden, the collections, the Razor's Edges, the Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, and 3, whatever you played in that series, they've always delivered. So Wolong is going to be interesting to see Fallen Dynasty for sure. Then Persona we got, and we talked about Kojima Productions, and, you know, we know he's going to deliver, even if it's delayed, and hopefully we don't have any delays, but that's just the nature of building great things. And then last but not least, Starfield, Daniela.
I like that they finished really big. So Starfield, everybody was like hyped and pumped over little teasers, little clips that they put out there, but there was nothing that was really drawing me in. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm glad for everybody else. But I really needed to see more, like, because I just wasn't fully sold on it. And I am so happy that they close out Xbox with so much Starfield gameplay and introductions and explanations. That was huge. And that was the selling point for me, where, like, okay, now I'm hyped. Now I'm interested. Because I believe it was Todd Howard that was like going through, and he gave, you know, he wasn't talking over everything. You really got to see everything that was going on. So you have your RPG shooter, which is very, very, you know, Destiny's like-ish, kind of Borderlands-ish, but not so like campy. But then you have this incredible complex customization and skill system that they started to show you, that I love, that you can create. They have a craft system. They have, you know, you can build your own home post. You can make your own spaceship. You can go into dogfights. You can fly the spaceship. I know I just said that I really didn't care for the flight simulation, but If that's all the game has, I have no interest. But if that's just one of the elements within a game, I think that is brilliant and that is cool. And the fact that you can customize this ship, the way it looks, everything about it, and then you can hire your own crew and have them be a part of it, and you're just captaining this thing, I thought that was amazing. And then to see how big this world really is, the only thing is that I can really think of is that really, this is what maybe like at its absolute fullest potential, what No Man's Skies could have or should have been.
Well,
now I mentioned that.
Yeah, so a couple of things with that, right? So without, I guess I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this. Like, one game has to come out for another game to be inspired, right? So. Yeah. When we think of all the games that we've played throughout the years that we've been playing them, when we talk about the Borderlands, the Warframes, without those games, we wouldn't see, the Destinies and the of the Ashes games. I can't think of the full name right now. So we wouldn't be able to see those games without the ones that, you know, help inspire them. So I don't know what No Man's Sky was trying to be. I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this, but I know that they pivoted a couple of times to get to where they are now, No Man's Sky, right? And any thoughts on what I'm saying right now?
No, I mean, you're right. No Man's Sky, it's still a great game, but it had to come out with additional content and patches and to really get its full potential where it was at.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know. I have no idea because I never played No Man's Sky, but I've always appreciated like the videos and things that I saw. You can't shoot in that game, right? I don't think you can.
No.
Right. It's just, the core, just is the wrong word here. The core of the game is exploration, right?
Yeah.
That's what I got from it. So when I look at Starfield, I see Starfield taking, like you said, everything that made games good in many different genres and then putting it in one place. There's a game, and I can't think of the name of it. I think it's a PC game. It's very, very CPU intensive, but it has like different parts to it. I think it has an FPS component, an exploration component. But the game, I remember it being like super expensive, and even trying to install it and run it was very difficult for me. I can't think of the name of the game, but that game had different components intentionally to capture, you know, multiple audiences. It had an FPS component, a ship building type of component. And I see that Starfield is doing the exact same thing. Most games do this, right? So they've taken the Fallout stuff, whatever that is. They've taken the looter shooter genre, as you mentioned, Borderlands. I'm sure they've taken some things from No Man's Sky by way of exploration. Any shipbuilding games, they've taken, you know, bits and pieces from that. But the other thing too, the other concern that people may have is it doesn't look like a game that's super graphically. It's not a 100%. It's not like a 10. It's not an off the chart graphical game, right? Maybe it'll polish to be that. But from what I saw, I wasn't necessarily captivated by the visuals. I was captivated by the UI and the different things that you can do. And of course, they mentioned like 1,000+ planets that you can explore, which is crazy. Okay. So, but I wasn't captivated by all the visuals. Any thoughts on that or anything?
Really? I think I was. But I'm also coming from the standpoint where visually things will not always sell me. Like, you can have a beautiful game, but the gameplay mechanics, the story is very lackluster. The same way that you can have a very, you know, well thought out and executed story and gameplay mechanics, but the graphics are kind of eh. I think with Starfield, the way that I'm seeing it and why I like it so much is that there is a good balance between the two. And I really did like what I saw visually. It's nothing that's too overwhelming. It was very, I think, tastefully done that you're getting this, like, these different worlds that you can visit and this planet. And putting that into some creative visual thing that you're just not overwhelmed by, like, all of this scenery. You can gradually take it in and appreciate it. So I liked what they showed. I loved what it looked like in all these different environments that they showcased.
Yeah, so they showed a lot of different environments. They also showed the ability to customize your character. The sound design, you know, I'm a fan of, you know, based on what we saw, building of your ships, definitely a fan of that. And it really will put me in a new, like, I guess, genre spot, right? Because as I was mentioning earlier, I don't recall doing a lot of exploration games, you know, maybe some of the side scrolling, bullet hell type of games in the past, but never really something like this, where I remember traveling from space to use space to do things. I don't recall that. But we do that in Destiny right now, but it's not the same scale.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. I like what it is, and I'm also okay. I've got to be realistic about my own personal expectation about stuff based off of my own personal gaming habits. But I think when it comes to things that are too big, and what are too in debt, I start to kind of like be overwhelmed by it. And what I mean by that, so like games like Witcher, huge storyline, lot of gameplay, too much for me. And I think like as much as I liked and I'm like pumped and I my interest is peaked for Starfield. So the cool thing for everybody else is that there's over 100 systems, over 1,000 plus planets that you can go and explore, and you're not set with, like, you only can land at certain key points. Like, they say that you can land anywhere on this planet. And that's great. Open world explorations, diving into that.
That's really cool.
For me, I'm like, that's a lot.
And so when does it become too much? Is it an hour thing, or it's just like, you know, the stuff? Is it 40 hour mark is your threshold, or is it stuff based on what you see?
It's not about hours. It's just that I know that I'm going to be compulsively like, okay, how many planets have I visited? Oh, only 93. Okay.
Gotcha.
Well, I have like 1,000. And it's like this internal like FOMO, like, am I going to miss out on a planet? What planet? Where's I'm going to Google up a list. What are planets I absolutely have to go and check out that people have found that they love and had all these cool sceneries and stuff like that? Oh, I got to go over there. Oh, what can I do here? That is when it becomes a little bit too overwhelming for me, that it's just like, okay, there's too many branching things that comes out. It's not necessarily the amount of hours, but for me, if it's too much content in a game, where do I draw the line of, do I continue on with these stories or, you know, sub stories and quests to go out into venturing out into this open world?
Yeah,
that's yeah. For me, it's like, if it gets to being like that point, that's like the way that my brain works for games. I get overwhelmed and I'm like, I'm going to stop now and we're never going to finish, because that's what happens to me. Like, it really is. And you know what, as great as I love like Fallout, Fallout 3, I still didn't find my son. Why? Because I'm too busy. I got really overwhelmed with helping out all these different camps that were like being bombarded. Like, oh no, now I have to go and help me. Oh, I have to go help gather all this stuff to like fortify your base so that you can protect yourself better. And I got two into these little side quests there that I never completed the main story. And I'm like, this is way too much. And I cannot help myself, because if I'm going to get a notification that this camp needs help or whatever it is, I'm going to get lost. And then that's where I end up being. And, you know, several hundred hours later, I'm like, I still didn't do the story.
Right.
I can't do this. So that's for me being realistic about it for myself personally. And I know a lot of people love that. And that's, and the thing is that there's a balance that I, you know, that you have to strike, because, you know, games aren't cheap. They aren't. And it's really awesome if games are going to be offered via Game Pass that you can play from day one, as long as you have, you know, you're subscribed, you have that certain package, you can play it. That's cool. But you also have to be reminded that the games don't stay on the Game Pass forever. They cycle out, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So if you didn't finish it within whatever that time period may be, which they really do have it on there for a long time. But if it's like really that in depth and you're really huge on just this super exploring, maybe just go out and buy it.
Yeah, and but, I think they have the sales too to, you know, help out with that. If you play the game for a while and it happens to have a sale, you get a pretty good discount to get the title as well.
Yeah, and you always get a notification like, oh, here's what's leaving within the next month, you know? But that's that pressure to just like complete it. And that's not like anybody's putting that pressure on me. It's just the way that my mind is working. I'm like, I still have so much to do. I don't know if I can do it all. I know I
there's a lot to do.
Have to do it all. That's the thing. You don't have to do all these things in these games. A lot of it can be very linear. You just do the storyline and you're completed with the game. But then, you know, you have this game that has so much more to explore. Do you just only focus on that and then you're done? No, of course not.
Yeah. But with for me specifically with Destiny, I have to, right? Because my goal is to make sure that my character is always ready for Iron Banner, and Iron Banner, it requires your level to be, you know, a certain amount. And the higher it is, the better for you, because you'll be able to take out the enemy easier in that particular mode. The gear is way better in that mode. And some of the weapons that they give you can, you know, be good across all different types of gaming that you'll be doing inside of Destiny 2. So I have to find ways to be better. So crew, you know, to help my light level to go up. But I do agree that there's games where you don't have to do those things. But if you know that you're a completionist by nature, you know, 1,000 planets, okay, 100 plus systems or whatever, and you can land anywhere on each planet, that's a lot.
It is. And it's like, it's a beautiful thing though, because you're really getting the best experience out of the money that you spend. If you end up buying it or pre-ordering it, you're really getting a very full experience. Like you're getting more than, you know, 10 hours of gameplay, which if for like a $70 game, that's like $7 an hour, versus, you know, you pay $70 or whatever you may be for 1,000 hours of gameplay. That's huge. That's a great value for entertainment, for, you know, spending your time and making sure you get every penny worth in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think it's going to be great. I think that Game Pass owners will probably take breaks in between, you know, their Game Passes, depending on what's happening and with the library, what's coming in. And as you mentioned, what's heading out of the library for Xbox. But I think that in terms of value and what we're getting, even now, we feel really good right now about what we saw today for the Xbox Bethesda showcase, for sure. So I'm pretty content. I'm excited, you know, and I was highly skeptical with the Game Pass last year, or maybe a little bit longer than that. But I'm coming around, because some of the subscription services that I do have, I do believe that I'm getting value from them, which is why I have it, right? Whether it's Netflix or Hulu, or we can go down the list, because there's so many of them these days. But overall, I think that Starfield is going to be amazing based on what we saw. If that's the indicator, I'm excited. Any other thoughts or final thoughts on Starfield?
I just loved everything that they showcased. I'm so happy that they did, which I think it's like a lot of people expected Xbox to show off Starfield, and they definitely did not disappoint.
No, not it. And it was really good. And then from there, we saw the PC gaming show. That's becoming one of my favorite shows. A lot of the things in there, I'm like, oh, I won't play it, but I can appreciate it for what it is. But I do enjoy watching that show. So what caught your attention for the PC gaming show?
Just a little bit add on to that. During these little showcases, when they have events like this, that's a week long, I always like PC Gaming Show and Devolver Digital. The way that they put on their shows, obviously they're not like going to be the biggest titles. They're not going to try to be Xbox. They're not going to try to be Sony. They do their own thing, and they put on this fun show with their little like skits and corny jokes, and they just make it fun and they go with it. That's what I appreciate about both of those shows. So PC Gaming Show, usually there's a lot of games in there that I really, really like. And I think there's only like maybe like 10 that really like, okay, I really like this. Solstice is definitely one of them. That was really great to see. I know you have it on your list, so I want to know what you think.
No, I think it was really good. So I'm actually surprised I'm liking more PC titles when the show is inherently a PC show. So I really dug what they did with Solstice. And there were some other titles that we'll discuss as well. But it's one of those things where I realized that a lot of the games that I'm seeing, I won't play, right? But there are those where it's so good and it falls within my genre, I have to check it out, even if it's for a couple of minutes, right? So games like Deceive Inc., which was one that caught my attention, I thought that was very interesting. Solstice, I probably will watch somebody play that, right? And, you know, something like Immortality, I'll probably watch you play that, because that's the FMV genre-esque. I think there's more detective work, clues, and different things like that for that particular title. But just getting back to Solstice, I thought that was really dope as well.
Yeah, I like the combat system. The story looks like it's going to be really good. You know, you have this spirit with your weapon. You know, your humanity is lost. The boss battles that they showcased looked really, really cool visually. You know, it's got like this little horror thriller meets Nier kind of vibe to it for me. So I really dug that. So it's definitely on my list, and I think comes out like later this year. I don't think I remember seeing. Oh no, it did. It had a September 20th for this year. So September and October, I think, have some really great games that are coming out across the board, whether it be PC or on console. I don't have all the dates in front of me, but I know that there's a lot of games that are like, oh no, there's another one in September. Oh no, there's another one in October. And those are like the two big months. There are some in November and December too, but Solstice is definitely one that's on the board for me for September.
Yeah, this one I have twice. I have it in the first stuff for Xbox Bethesda, and I also have it here. Flintlock is definitely top of the list as well. That looks really, really good.
What is it about Flintlock that you liked?
I like the fact that there's a pet involved. Anyone that has a pet, even though I don't want to have pets myself, I like the fact that the pet helps you. I like that aspect of it. I like the combat system. I like the fact that it is a brown person that is the main, I think it's protagonist, right? That's the word that is used. So I love that. And we definitely need to see more of that. But any game that incorporates pets, and the reason I say that is because one of the things that made me fall in love with Dust and Elysian Tail is because you had a partner, you know, pet combination that can help you along the way. So I think that those I've always had a special place for. So when I saw that in Flintlock, I immediately was captivated by that. And I think, I don't know if Hollow Knight has a partner, a helper, if you will. But the fighting style that it represented was very, very similar to what I remember from Dust and Elysian Tales. So that caught my attention there. But Flintlock is definitely one that should get more shine. I don't know if I like the cover for Flintlock, because the cover is rear facing, not forward facing. I would much rather the character be facing us and not facing away with a profile of her face, if that's how she identifies, right? But I would have loved a more forward facing. I'm just really being picky at this point, but I think it's subtle. I would have much rather a forward facing cover.
Okay. Well, that's going to be available on the Game Pass day one too. I mean, I know we didn't go dive into that, but Xbox, it will be on the Game Pass there on day one. So that's always cool. And her companion's name is Enki, E-N-K-I.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I know we didn't really touch on it on the Xbox Bethesda stuff. I think I was just thinking about what really I enjoyed and what I didn't. You know, I think the cover I wasn't really feeling because of, I guess that's a deep dive that we can go into. Like, depending on the cover, certain covers don't appear internationally as they do, locally or domestically. And I know that's more for movie covers and stuff like that, but something about the cover, I would have preferred a forward facing cover, but the fact that we're getting more representation in games and, you know, we're seeing that change slowly but surely, I can respect that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think Flintlock got as much screen time and recognition as it probably should have, because it looked really, really good. So, I mean, it was there in a couple different showcases, but not like super deep dive like some of the other games got into. So if this is the first time you're listening or learning or hearing about Flintlock, it's called Flintlock: The Siege of Dawn, and it's pretty much you are playing Norvanek, who's a part of the coalition army. So this is like the last stand battle against the gods. So, and it's pretty cool. It's otherworldly action RPG open world adventure there that you can expect to experience from it.
And yeah. So was it a world premiere?
I don't think I remember.
I don't remember if it was or not. Yeah. I don't remember either.
Hear about it.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was a world premiere or not, right? So if it wasn't, then I don't know why am I hearing about it now? Why did it wait so long, right? If it was, okay, cool, that makes sense. But I don't think the deep dive for it, if you want to call it that, for me, I didn't see that until the PC Gamer Show. I think they spent a little bit more time on it there than they did on the Xbox Bethesda showcase. That's just observation. I'm not saying that they should have spent more time, you know, on the Xbox One versus PC Gamer Show. I'm just saying that's my observation. But yeah, that's all I have there.
And I really think that's about really, you know, whatever studios in their trailers who gets a little bit more rights to showing it versus others. Because even if a game's going to be on all the platforms, one showcase is going to show more than a little, like, than the other ones. Like, the other ones will still show it, lightly talk on it, but I think just, like, always there's going to be one showcase that gets a little bit more into it.
Yeah, and to your point, Capcom is coming up this week, so more Street Fighter stuff will probably be shown there than we saw at either, you know, wherever we saw it, Summer Game, State of Play, Summer Game Fest, all the other spots may not show as much as they would on the official, you know, Capcom spot. So I'm expecting to see a little bit more, unless they say, you know, you're not going to see anything new that you haven't seen from
the
previous showcases.
From Capcom.
That would be silly from Capcom. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
We showed
that's,
you everything everywhere else. You're not going to get any more from us.
That would be weird. At least give us more gameplay of some superstar pro players, and you know, you can give us more commentary on what's happening with Street Fighter. I think that's what Monday or Tuesday for the Capcom one. So that's Monday. Right around the corner too. Yeah, the 13th. So if you're listening, the 13th is the Capcom showcase. Definitely check that out for sure. But yeah, I really enjoyed what I saw with Flintlock, and there was some other titles for the PC Gamer Show. But what else do you have? And I'll tap in a little bit.
So I only really kind of took notes on the stuff that I really, really, really hit me and I really liked. So you mentioned it, the mortals, immortality. Mm. So that's the full motion video one from the same people who made Telling Lies and Her Story. I love those. Both of those games were amazing. I think I like Telling Lies a little bit more, where you get these video clips, you get a piece together about the story. So for Immortality, you have this fictional actress that has made these three movies, but they never came out, and it was found, and you're kind of putting it all together about what happened. And what was really cool and how they're piecing this together to create a story that you're going to be playing through is that you get to watch these clips, but then you get to pause it and you get to pick parts in this scene where you can focus on, and then it'll do a search through all these other clips to bring you a different clip from somewhere else and something else that has this person or this item that's in it. And you play through that and you're putting it all together. I really, really love those games and really enjoy it. Just in general, full motion videos always have a special place in my heart because of Sega CD. So to have still games that are so, you know, going that route, going this method, and then you're putting into this like little mystery thriller puzzle, it's always going to have a special place for me. So that was definitely on my list that I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah, there were others, but for what I recall, that really spoke to me. Deceive Inc. That was interesting. You have to get a package and make sure you can, you know, escape with the package, but you're going to have individuals that will prevent that from happening. So that's the tension points in the game itself. So Deceive Inc. is really cool. Alters, that was interesting, right?
Oh yeah, the way that they introduced that, that was definitely really. Like, I can see it being this really cool sci-fi, like, survival strategy game. So they open up this trailer where you're waking up, your character is waking up in this bed a little bit, you know, disoriented, a little bit confused, walks into, like, throughout this, what you think is a ship, and into this one common room, and it's just him, but different versions of him, and then he's confused, and then this alter version of himself helps him up, and then he understands. So it's like, I'm like, that is really cool, a very interesting way to introduce this game to me.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And one of the things that they said, that the different versions are going to have different abilities that can help you along the way. As you're, you know, navigating this this rolling wheel of a ship or whatever that thing was, but the games are getting so well. I think one of the games that really still speak to me, even with the short, as I mentioned to you recently, is Kara, and then we had Detroit Become Human. Now we have the game that they announced recently. I don't want to get the name wrong. I'm going to scroll back up to As Dusk Falls, right? So games like that, you know, just question different things, not only your humanity or your moral system, right?
Yeah.
And framework. And I think they question a lot of those things. And even I think there was one quote that was mentioned in As Dusk Falls. It says something to the effect that sometime the right thing to do is to do the wrong thing. And I was like, what? Like, what does that even mean? And, you know, and I have to find, and I have to like think about, like, when did that happen for me? Like, has there any been a point in my life? I know we're getting like, I'm going a little crazy. Has there ever been a point where I believe the right thing was doing the wrong thing? But anyway, so I think a lot of these games are just so amazing and what they're delivering. And some of them are, you know, very, very, you know, psychologically based, and how they're presenting information to us and how we have to navigate those worlds, I think is really interesting.
Yeah, games that really start to make you question your own morality and it kind of dives deep into your own personality and choices. I always find so interesting and so incredibly unique and an absolutely fun experience to go through.
Yeah.
So I like absolutely. Those.
Yeah, I don't think so. The PC Gamer show, I think that with all these showcases, it is a celebration of gaming and everything that we love and everything that we're experiencing for each and every platform that we play on, right? So I love that. And I think the other thing that really caught my attention, Agent 64, which is a hat tip to GoldenEye, right? Mm-hmm. So Agent 64, Spies Never Die, that caught my attention from the show as well. And I guess just some quick hits, Deliver Us Mars. That's another one that could potentially question your decision making, what you're doing in the world to bring back whatever you get from Mars, you know, back to Earth or whatever. That one was really cool. The fighting game, Them's Fighting Herds. That was interesting to see. Right. I thought that was pretty cool. The color palette was dope. The fighting system looks really interesting. And even with Agent 64, Spies Never Die, I think the demo is currently available based on what they mentioned in the trailer during the show. And Half-Life, I didn't really see that it was Half-Life until they mentioned that was Half-Life, because I haven't played that series in such a long time. But overall, I think System Shock was another one too that was really dope.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That was really dope.
Recreated and brought back. That was amazing.
Yeah. So I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised that there were so many titles that I was like, wow, okay, all right, PC, I see you. You know, a lot of wish list items I may have to add, because some of these titles I really didn't know that they existed. Number one, and number two, that they were going to spark any interest for me to even consider them. In the future, whether it's a Game Pass thing or a wish list for Steam. So I think overall both shows were great. Any tidbits, even like Tactical Breach Wizards, I think that was cool too. That was another one. Rot Wood, I think that's Clay Entertainment. I think Clay did the Ninja game, but I don't know. Castle Crashers wasn't Clay. Castle Crashers was Behemoth, right? From what I recall. I think Castle Crashers was Behemoth. So Clay Entertainment was the Ninja game. And then Castle Crashers, I believe, was Behemoth. And then they did some other games after that. So Rot Wood is, it looks like it's a successor of like a side scrolling of sorts. I need to, let me just look. I'm going to look at Clay Entertainment. Because I think, let me see what they did. Games. Okay, so they did Don't Starve. And then I think they did a ninja game, Mark of the Ninja. They did, right? So they did Mark of the Ninja, and they also did Shank 1 and 2, which are my favorites. I love Shank. That was a great series. And then Behemoth did the game Castle Crashers. And Castle Crashers was an amazing game as well. So, so we have some good stuff. We have some good stuff on the radar, potential games that we're going to get, what they're saying, 12 months from now, at least, right?
Yep.
Especially for the Xbox Bethesda stuff, they're saying at least 12 months. It's kind of like a promise, but not. So I'm not holding my breath on anything like that. But the fact that we have a lot to look forward to, I think, is really, really exciting.
Yeah, and just a couple of other quick hits that I really did like that I saw was Abyssals, which is like this, how do I describe it? You're underwater creating a colony in an uninhabitable planet, and you have to survive through it. Like, you're in the deep seas creating this world, and when you think about it, In reality, like, all of our ocean that we have has yet to been, you know, explored. So there's a lot of stuff underwater that is like unknown. So they have this game where you are creating and building this town in like the darkest, deepest depths of the underwater and this planet. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Decarnation. That was another good one that I really liked. And I Am Future.
Yeah, so many good ones. And the documentary as well, which they showed, I think episode one from the that particular series, Tales from the Hard Drive. And I guess there was this one guy who was taking a lot of people out in World of Warcraft, where he would just be near like a boat or dock, and people would want to go to the dock to get to the boat. He would take everybody out, and he became infamous for doing that and laughing at people and dancing over their corpses and stuff like that. So apparently that became like its own big, kind of like a early version of a raid boss that people are trying to find different ways to take out. So much so that they created a guide to try to take him out, because he was like taking people out by like the dozens every day. And then they were sending him like, you know, of course, expletives, and, you know, people try to dox him or where he was and his home. And I guess as he matured and, you know, got married and, you know, had kids, he started having like a different outlook on what he was doing in the game. But that was like a big era, which I had no idea because I don't play that game, where he was just waiting by the docks just to take people out in the game, and people were really, really mad at him. So the first episode of that particular documentary, Tales from the Hard Drive, for PC Gamer. For PC Gamer, definitely check that out if you want some history of stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got some quick hits for that. But those are the main games that I really like saw and that I really liked from them. Other than it's just fun to watch them.
Yeah, definitely fun to watch. Their outtakes are really fun too, for a PC gaming show. They do a fantastic job with that. And yeah, it's a dope shows. And I guess this upcoming week we have Capcom, we have Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which I'm playing this week. I'm sure I'll probably be streaming that on YouTube, and just excited for that. You know, I was talking to my friend of mine earlier, and I was like, man, we've waited for this game for years. This is the Turtles game that if we still had like a lot of arcades everywhere — I know certain places still have arcades — but if we had them like we did back in the, you know, 90s or whatever, this game would be there, right? And it would be an iconic game to play, because now you're able to play, you know, with Splinter and Casey Jones and April O'Neil and, of course, the Turtles. I mean, that's one that we've been waiting for a long time. So I'm excited for that game this week. I think that's the 16th. It drops on the Game Pass, so I'll be able to download and play right away. And so I'm definitely looking forward to doing that.
I'm going to try to. I have a very busy work schedule these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you can play one stage with me, dude, I'm so excited for this one. It's been too long. We've been waiting for this, so I'm really excited.
Well, I'm happy for you, because I know you were going to be pumped for it.
Yeah, for sure. So that's all I have. That's our show for Xbox Bethesda Showcase and PC Gamer Show Showcase. Daniela, any final thoughts and we'll wrap?
I loved it. I loved everything from these last, like, this past 5 days or so. There was no disappointments at all. I loved it. Starting from, I think it was the State of Play to Xbox. Fantastic.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. So it is the joy of this time for us, you know, with everything that's happening in the gaming industry and everything that we're recovering from and bouncing back from. I think this has been a treat for us to really focus on what we love, and however we decide to play that, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, so that's all we have for episode 617. And Danielle, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all those fancy things at Miss DJM. And where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. Also have additional stuff in my link tree. Definitely check that out. And until next time, take it easy.
Bye, guys.